Sterling Infrastructure, ticker SDRL. This is a deep dive on Sterling Infrastructure, a data center site development and electrical services company trading around $300 to $330, down roughly 30% from its $477 highs. Market cap approximately $10 to $14 billion. The company is headquartered in The Woodlands, Texas, with about 4,400 employees. The transformation. The most important thing to understand about Sterling is the transformation. 5 years ago, this was a money-losing heavy highway contractor. Revenue was flat, margins were thin, and the stock was in single digits. CEO Joe Cutillo, a mechanical engineer by training who joined in 2017, systematically exited low-margin heavy civil work and pivoted the company toward mission-critical infrastructure. That means data centers, semiconductor fabs, e-commerce distribution centers, and large manufacturing facilities. The results are staggering. Revenue went from about $1 billion in 2019 to $2.49 billion in fiscal 2025. EPS went from 60 cents in 2019 to $10.88 in fiscal 2025. That's a 44% EPS compound annual growth rate over 6 years. EBITDA margins expanded from about 5% to over 21%. This is their fifth consecutive year of 35% plus adjusted EPS growth. The company now has three segments. E-Infrastructure Solutions, which is 69% of Q4 revenue and growing 123% year over year. Transportation Solutions, which is 20% and growing 24%. And Building Solutions, which is 11% and declining 9% due to residential softness. The math is simple. The biggest segment is also the highest margin and fastest growing. That's enormous operating leverage. What Sterling actually does. Sterling is phase one of construction for large data centers. They do three things. First, site development. That means earthwork, grading, underground utilities, fresh water, sewers, gas, and underground duct banks. They get the land flat and install everything underground. Second, through the CEC acquisition completed in September 2025, they now do exterior electrical services. Conduit, wiring, power distribution from the utility connection to the building. Third, they're building out modular prefab capacity. CEC just signed a lease to triple their modular build facility to over 300,000 square feet. They prefabricate electrical components in a factory and ship them to the field, which reduces labor needs and improves margins. Here's the scale context that matters. 3 years ago, a 100-acre data center was a big project. On the Q4 earnings call, Cutillo said they just started a project in Texas where the parking lot alone is 100 acres. These aren't data centers anymore. They're data campuses. William Blair's data center tracker shows campuses growing from 50 acres in 2018 to over 1,000 acres today. One-third of Sterling's projects are behind the meter, meaning they're on the customer's side of the utility connection. Behind-the-meter work has different permitting, different contracting structures, and often better pricing. The next generation of these campuses will include self-generated power, which CEO Cutillo says will create even more development scope. The financial profile. Let me walk through the numbers using the AlphaSense consensus model as of February 26, 2026. Revenue, $1.77 billion in fiscal 2023, $1.88 billion in 2024 on the adjusted basis, excluding the RHB JV deconsolidation, then $2.49 billion in 2025, a 32.5% increase. The 2026 model projects $3.1 billion, up 25%. Gross margins expanded from 17.1% in 2023 to 20.1% in 2024 to 23% in 2025. That 600 basis point expansion over 2 years is almost entirely from the infrastructure mix shift. EBITDA, $260 million in 2023, $344 million in 2024, $504 million in 2025 on an adjusted basis. Adjusted EBITDA margin went from 13.2% to 16.2% to 20.2%. The 2026 guide is $626 to $659 million. EPS, GAAP diluted EPS was $8.27 in 2024, $9.38 in 2025 on a GAAP basis, or $10.88 adjusted. The 2026 guide is $13.45 to $14.05 adjusted. The model projects $13.83 adjusted for FY 2026 and $14.71 for FY 2027. Operating cash flow was $440 million in fiscal 2025 on $504 million of adjusted EBITDA. That's an 87% conversion rate, exceptional for a construction business where working capital swings typically compress cash flow. The balance sheet is clean. $391 million of cash, $291 million of debt, so $100 million net cash. The $150 million revolver is undrawn. CapEx is stepping up to $100 to $110 million in 2026 from $77 million in 2025, invested in equipment to support growth. The backlog story. Backlog is what makes Sterling compelling. Signed backlog ended Q4 at $3.01 billion, up 78% year-over-year. On a same-store basis excluding CEC, it grew 50%. Combined backlog including unsigned awards was $3.31 billion, up 81%. But the real number is the $4.5 billion visibility pool. That's $3.01 billion of signed backlog, plus $301 million of unsigned awards, plus over $1 billion of future phase work. Cutillo was specific about this on the call. He said the $1 billion plus is tied to projects they're actively working on today. It's real work, the next phases of existing campuses. Internally, they treat it as backlog for capacity planning. Book-to-burn ratio was 1.64x in Q4. They're adding 64% more new work than they're completing each quarter. Backlog depletion time based on the model is about 14.5 months at current revenue run rates. 84% of e-infrastructure backlog is now mission-critical, up from 80% a year ago. Mission-critical means data centers, semiconductor fabs, and facilities where downtime has severe economic consequences. These projects carry better pricing power and more predictable margins. E-infrastructure RPOs, which are the remaining performance obligations specifically in e-infrastructure, reached $1.844 billion. That's nearly 2 years of e-infra revenue at current quarterly run rates. Transportation backlog also jumped to $1.12 billion, up 81% year-over-year. Awards in Q4 were up 270% excluding CEC and a former JV. Even as the current federal funding cycle ends in September 2026, Cutillo noted only 50 to 60% of total funding has been spent, and the world doesn't stop at the end of a funding cycle. They typically extend with inflation adjustments. Segment deep dive. E-infrastructure. Q4 revenue was $521 million, growing 123% year-over-year with 67% organic growth. Full-year revenue was $1.47 billion, up 59%. Adjusted operating margins for infra reached nearly 25% for the full year on the legacy site development business, an increase of 120 basis points. The Q4 growth acceleration from 42% organic in Q3 to 67% organic in Q4 is notable. Data centers were the primary driver, but the Rocky Mountain site development operation grew over 150% from the prior year. Cutillo noted they see margin upside as they upgrade the equipment fleet in the Rocky Mountain region to match what they run on the East Coast. CEC, the electrical services business acquired for $560 million, grew revenue 21% in Q4 and margins are in line with expectations. The cross-sell thesis is materializing. Cutillo said on the call that combining site development with electrical services is getting great traction and they're ahead of schedule. He expects to announce Texas awards in the first half of 2026. The integration risk is real. G&A expenses in Infra jumped from $37.9 million in fiscal 2024 to $65.4 million in fiscal 2025, reflecting the added complexity of a larger organization. For 2026, management guides Infra revenue growth of 40% plus, including 20% plus in the legacy business. Adjusted operating margins of 23 to 24%. Transportation Solutions. Q4 revenue was $153 million, up 24%. Full-year revenue was $641 million, up 17% on the adjusted basis. Operating margins have been expanding steadily, reaching 12.1% in Q4 versus 4.9% in fiscal 2022. The margin expansion reflects a mix shift toward higher-margin alternative delivery contracts and away from low-bid heavy highway work in Texas. For 2026, management guides low to mid-single-digit revenue growth with continued margin expansion. Building Solutions. Q4 revenue was $82 million, down 9%. Full year was $383 million, down 6.3%. Operating margin was 10.2%, down from 13.2% in 2024. Residential housing is soft and near-term conditions will continue. Management guides high single to low double-digit revenue declines for 2026. Cutillo offered an interesting perspective on residential. He said once housing turns, there are 3 to 4 months of inventory on the ground that builders will sell before new starts pick up. But longer term, Dallas, Houston, and Phoenix are population growth markets, and Sterling expects to gain market share coming out of the downturn. If the right residential acquisition came along at depressed multiples, he wouldn't shy away. Competitive position. Sterling's competitive moat has several layers. Scale. They are 3 to 4 times larger than their next competitor on large, complex data center projects. That scale doesn't replicate overnight. The bonding capacity alone takes years to build. Integrated offering. After CEC, they're one of very few companies that can offer both site development and electrical services as a single-source provider. For mission-critical projects where if site development is even a couple weeks late, the entire project gets delayed by months, hyperscalers want one throat to choke. Sterling provides that. Labor scarcity. It takes 4 years to become a journeyman electrician. Cutillo said on the call that if he had another 1,000 electricians in Texas, he could put them to work in 30 days or less. And his actual need is much bigger than that. This labor shortage is a barrier to entry for competitors. AI and technology. Sterling ran 3 AI pilots in 2025, and the teams were excited. They picked up 15 to 20% incremental project manager capacity from the first deployment. They now have 6 AI projects underway. Cutillo made an interesting point. Their capacity constraint in site development is project managers, not equipment or labor. If AI can stretch PM bandwidth 15 to 20%, that directly translates to revenue capacity. Geographic expansion is the near-term catalyst. Cutillo called the Texas market on fire. Sterling is attacking Texas from the east using their plateau business and from the west using Rocky Mountain resources, with CEC's electrical business right in the middle of Dallas. William Blair's March 27th note says Sterling is believed to be the leading site developer for Meta's $10 billion El Paso campus, which is up from $1.5 billion announced in October. On the question of competitors, Quanta Services, MassTech, and Dicom are all expanding in adjacent spaces. But Sterling's differentiation is the integrated site plus electrical package at megascale. Cutillo pointed out that mid-Atlantic data centers are numerous but small, and they don't fit Sterling's profile. The company is targeting the 100-plus acre megacampuses where very few competitors can operate. The semiconductor opportunity. This is not in the numbers yet. CHIPS Act is driving over $450 billion in private investment. Sterling is positioned through Petillo in the Northeast, specifically for Micron's build-out, which could reach $100 billion. Cutillo was measured about timing. He said he doesn't expect a major phase of semiconductor until 2030, given the lead times. But some projects are close to shore and could be awarded in 2026. Semiconductor projects will be 7 to 10 years in duration versus 3 years for a typical data center project, and the total scope could approach $1 billion per project. Pharma plants are also being announced around the country, with 3 to 5-year lead times before ground breaks. And in parallel, data center customers are not slowing down. They're talking about bigger builds, more builds, and working with Sterling to commit capacity 3 to 5 years out. Management team. CEO Joe Cutillo, 9 years. Mechanical engineer. Architect of the entire transformation. He's decisive, operationally deep, and speaks with precision about his markets. CFO Sharon Villaverde, less than a year. Came from Dicom Industries, where she was VP and Chief Accounting Officer. Infrastructure M&A expertise. CEO Dan Govin, also less than a year. From Quanta Services, where he was President of Quanta West. Electrical utility background and large project operational experience. EVP Ron Balschmeid, 9 years. Former CFO of Chicago Bridge and Iron. Financial backbone. VP of IR Noel Diltz, 2 years. Former Stifel equity research analyst covering ENC. She knows exactly what the buy side wants. Having a former sell side analyst running IR for a company this complex is a meaningful advantage. The simultaneous CFO and COO hires deserve attention. 2 C-suite hires at once is unusual. Cutillo has been CEO 9 years and led a transformative journey. This could be bench deepening for a company that's suddenly 3x more complex with the CEC acquisition, or it could signal succession planning. Either way, the hires are operationally credentialed. Capital allocation. Buyback authorization has $374 million remaining. They spent $74 million in FY 2025 at an average price of $169 and $26 million in Q4 at $310 average. They're opportunistic and have been buying at higher prices, which signals confidence. On M&A, Cutillo said they're seeing more high-quality acquisition targets on the market today than a year ago. The reason? Business owners see the enormous DC infrastructure opportunity ahead, but can't fund the growth alone. They'd rather partner with a scaled player like Sterling than miss the cycle. Target geographies include Texas, Ohio, Indiana, and the Pacific Northwest. He's also looking at mechanical services as a natural next step. CapEx is stepping up from $77 million to $100 to $110 million, invested in equipment for new geographies and productivity improvements. Valuation. Sterling trades at roughly 27x FY 2026, estimated EPS of $13.75 at midpoint, and about 22x forward EBITDA. The ENC peer group, Comfort Systems at 25x PE and 19x EBITDA with 33% revenue growth. EMCOR at 20x PE and 15x EBITDA with 16% growth. Quanta at 33x PE and 21x EBITDA with 14% growth. Mastech at 26x PE and 13x EBITDA with 2% growth. The ENC median is 28x PE and 15x EBITDA on 9% median revenue growth. Sterling commands a premium versus the median, but the growth metrics justify it. 67% organic infra growth, 53% EPS growth, and 78% backlog growth are multiples of what peers are delivering. William Blair values Sterling at 18x 2027 estimated EBITDA versus a peer average of 20x and sees greater than 15% upside. Stifel has a $490 price target with a buy rating. D.A. Davidson has $460. Sidoti raised to $505 with a buy, calling out execution at scale continues to resonate. The bear case math, if growth normalizes to 15 to 20% and the multiple compresses to 15 to 20x, that implies 35 to 50% downside. The key variable is duration of the data center build-out cycle. Every sell-side analyst covering SDRL is bullish. There is no published bear case, which itself is worth noting. Sell-side highlights. William Blair's latest note from March 27th is important. Meta's El Paso campus went from $1.5 billion to $10 billion. Blair says Sterling is believed to be the leading site developer. They note that Texas was only the fourth largest DC construction market in 2025, but will likely become the largest within 5 years. Blair also flagged that DC campus sizes have increased from 50 acres in 2018 to over 1,000 acres, a trend that overwhelmingly favors Sterling's scale advantage. Stifel's March 2 recap after Q4 noted that InfraAwards were up 109% year-over-year. They see progress on Texas entry plus CEC integration pointing to an acceleration in first half 2026. They raised their PT from $486 to $490. Sidoti's March 2 note raised FY 2026 EPS estimates to $12.64 and FY 2027 to $15.78. They highlighted the modular build expansion and self-power generation as the next frontier for Sterling's service offering. Key risks. Cycle duration. If the DC build-out is a 2 to 3 year phenomenon rather than the 5 to 7 years bulls expect, the multiple compresses hard. The solar overordering parallel from the 2010s is worth remembering. Customer concentration. Sterling does not disclose what percentage of Infra revenue comes specifically from data centers, nor do they break out individual customer concentration. We know the lion's share is with big-name hyperscalers, Amazon, Meta, and others. If one customer is 20% plus of Infra, that's a different risk profile. CEC integration. A $560 million acquisition is not trivial. G&A costs nearly doubled in Infra as the organization scaled up. If cross-sell doesn't materialize, the margin expansion thesis weakens. Building solutions drag. Residential is down 6% and guided to decline further. It's only 11% of revenue, but it's earnings dilutive and optically messy in a growth story. Geographic ramp. New markets start at lower margins. Cutillo acknowledged this on the call. Rocky Mountain margins are slightly below the East Coast due to equipment fleet differences. Acquisitions typically start below Sterling's margin profile and take time to converge. Hyperscaler CapEx sensitivity. If AI CapEx slows 20 to 30%, the impact on Sterling's order book is unclear because the exact DC concentration within Infra is not disclosed. The setup. The stock is down roughly 30 to 35% from the $477 high. Current price is $300 to $330. Every sell-side target is above $460. The pullback has been driven by broad market weakness, not company-specific deterioration. In fact, Sterling has shown relative strength versus ENC peers, which Blair attributes to the Meta El Paso catalyst and Sterling's geographic expansion story. The model projects FY 2026 revenue of $3.1 billion, adjusted EBITDA of $622 million at 20% margin, and adjusted EPS around $13.80. If they deliver those numbers, the stock is trading at roughly 24x forward earnings. FY 2027 estimates project $3.2 billion of revenue, $592 million of adjusted EBITDA, and $13.06 in adjusted EPS. Note the model assumes a deceleration to 3.4% revenue growth by FY 2027 as the Infra growth rate moderates from 28% to 3%. If that deceleration is slower than modeled, there's meaningful upside to estimates. Bottom line, Sterling Infrastructure is a genuine transformation story with best-in-class growth metrics in ENC. The company went from money-losing highway contractor to data center infrastructure platform in 5 years, compounding earnings at 44% annually along the way. The $4.5 billion visibility pool provides 18 to 24 months of revenue coverage. CEC cross-sell is the margin lever. Texas is the geographic catalyst. Semiconductor is the next wave. The question is whether this is a structural compounder or a cyclical beneficiary at 27x forward earnings. The answer depends on duration of the DC build-out and durability of the competitive moat. The sell side is uniformly bullish. The granola call notes flagged Sterling as a canary in the coal mine for DC infrastructure demand. And Cutillo's own words on the Q4 call, none of us have seen this in our career. It's not billions. I think it'll get to trillions of dollars of infrastructure spend coming in front of us. That's the deep dive on Sterling infrastructure.